أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أولا, in the beginning we ask Allah عز وجل to accept this effort of ours. That's the whole point of being here, is the ajr, the reward, which is even more important than the knowledge that we will learn. Is to receive the ajr of being here. And the knowledge is a bonus and a plus, as Allah Azza wa Jal has made it clear to us that everything is a fadl from Him. So everything really is bonuses that are given to us by Allah Azza wa Jal, because He owes us nothing and we owe Him everything. Now, what is the experience of those who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Tahrim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِي اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. الله عز وجل says, O you who believe, turn to Allah with sincere repentance. It may be that your Lord will expiate from you your sins and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow, the day that Allah will not disgrace the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who believed with him. If you follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not be disgraced. If you follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will succeed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling the people from the early days in Mecca, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا. Say, there is no God but Allah and you will be successful. Following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ultimate success. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a people who were illiterate, who were poor. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned them from nothing into being everything. The greatest scholars came out of this ummah. The greatest mujahideen came out of this ummah. The greatest shuhada came out of this ummah. The greatest zuhad and ubbad came out of this ummah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to the sahaba radiallahu anhum and said, would you be pleased if you are one quarter of the people of Jannah? They said yes. So the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are one quarter of the Jannah, while the followers of all of the other Sahaba are three-fourths. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, would you be happy if you are one-third of the people of Jannah? They said, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, would you be happy if you are one-half of the people of Jannah? They said, yes. He said, in the name of Allah, I ask and I wish that you would be two-thirds of the people of Jannah. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ النَّاسِ. This is the greatest ummah brought forth to mankind. We might go into low points. We might deviate from the straight path at certain times. We might slack. But at the end of the day, this remains to be the greatest ummah that was brought forth to humanity. The followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are the chosen nation. So we have to revive that confidence back. And even though we're going through a low point, the bottom of the curve, nevertheless, this ummah has the potential to fall down and then stand up running. This ummah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised, it will be revived in every qarn, every century. There will be a revival in this ummah. With the other ummah, they didn't have that potential, and that's why other prophets had to be sent. But with the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done his work so well and completed his mission to the extent that there is no need for a prophet to come after him. Number two, this is an ummah that is surrounded with a bracket. It starts by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ends with Isa. Ummati kalmatar. This ummah is like rain. The blessing is in the beginning, the blessing is in between, and there's blessing in the end. There's blessing all through. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the time he passed away, he has left behind him no books that he has written. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not author any books. He did not write down 10,000 documents or 10,000 books, but he has carved Quran in the hearts of 10,000 men. That was the greatest product of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was men. It wasn't books. It was men. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought up to the Sahaba to the extent that when he left, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even have to appoint a successor after him. The Sahaba knew how to sort that out. And they learned by just looking at the indications that Abu Bakr was made the Imam, that Abu Bakr was appointed as the Amir over Hajj, that Abu Bakr was the person with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. They made that choice for themselves and they gave him bay'ah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, every one of them is an ummah. The greatest military general you will find is Khalid ibn Walid. The greatest scholar is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The greatest businessman, Uthman ibn Affan. The greatest of the shuhada, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. Every one of them is a model in their own right. Who were they before? You know, one writer, he wrote a book about Umar ibn Khattab, and he said, who would Umar ibn Khattab be without Islam? What is the potential for Umar ibn Khattab? What would his future be like? He said, maybe. If there was a strike of luck, Umar ibn Khattab could have been a leader over his people in Quraysh. Maybe. He said, if we push it further, we might say that maybe Umar ibn Khattab would have been a leader over some of the tribes in Hijaz. He said, but the most likely scenario is that Umar ibn Khattab would have died at young age because of alcohol. And Islam came to Umar ibn Khattab and completely turned him into a different human being. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that you are a man that when shaitan sees you following one way, he would follow another way. Shaitan has given up on Umar ibn Khattab. Lost hope. A hopeless case for shaitan. He doesn't even bother arguing with him. He doesn't even want to give it a chance. You see Umar, you go the other way. That was because of the barakah of being around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was drinking from the fountain of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for years, from day one. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if the ummah is placed on one side and Abu Bakr on the other side, his iman is heavier than everybody else. So that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind. When I was thinking about points to talk, to present in this lecture, I planned initially to go through some of these examples of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but then I got an idea, and that is to go through Quran and to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to the believers. Because that's the ultimate end. Just going through Quran and seeing what has Allah azza wa jal promised the believers. And when we say believers, you cannot be a believer if you don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believing in Allah alone is not sufficient. That's a very important point. Because there are people out there who believe in one God, but they do not believe in the Prophet, they do not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that sufficient? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِنْ يَهُودِي وَلَا نَصْرَانِي يَسْمَعُ بِي ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِي إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Any Jew or Christian who hears my name and then doesn't follow me will be among the people of hellfire. You cannot get through to Jannah without believing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the gateway to paradise. Allah azza wa jal says in Surah An-Nisa about the ones who believe in Allah and believe in some of the prophets of Allah, يَقُولُنَا نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. They believe in some and they reject some. Allah azza wa jal says about them, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. Those are truly the disbelievers. So even if you believe in Allah, and you believe in all of the Anbiya of Allah, except one, you've rejected Allah and all of the Anbiya. Because, to give an example, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. A certain company is selling a product, and they have given the distribution rights to a particular businessman in this town or country. If you buy the product from another outlet, it's not legitimate. You have to go through the distributor. The distributor and the company would not want you to get the product except through the official distributor in that country. Now the Anbiya of Allah Azza wa Jal are the representatives of the message of Allah on earth. So you have to get the message through them. You cannot go and get it from somewhere else. And every Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal fills a certain slot in time, in the long time or period of humanity. So Musa, he fills a certain slot. Isa alayhi salam fills a certain slot. Adam alayhi salam. Every one of them is filling one slot in history. And as soon as another Nabi comes on the scene, then you must believe in that Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, from the day he was given Ba'tha, he is the prophet to all mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We sent you as a mercy to all mankind, everyone. Therefore, everyone is potentially a member of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they accept that or not. Because you're born on fitrah. You're born on fitrah. And fitrah is Islam. It is as if you're given an invitation. The application is handed out to you. Some of you would sign on and accept that invitation, and some of you will discard it. Some people will grow up to become Muslim, and some people will turn that offer down. But everyone, whether they're Christian or Jew or Buddhist or Hindu, they were given that invitation to Islam because they were born on fitrah. So they are potentially members of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on the Day of Judgment, they're not going to be asked about such and such prophet. They will be asked about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only in the Day of Judgment, but as soon as they get into their graves. So when we talk about the mu'mineen, we're talking about the ones who believe in Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By going through Quran, I found 25 promises that were given to the mu'mineen. Allah Azza wa Jal has promised the mu'mineen 25. And I just went through the ayat looking for الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا or الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. I didn't look for المتقين, المحسنين. Because Allah has promised المتقين some things. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. I didn't do that. I just looked at what Allah has promised المؤمنين. So dear brothers and sisters, look at what Allah Azza wa Jal has promised you. Number one. Establishment on earth. At-tamkeen. عَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah has promised to those among you who believe and work righteous deeds that He will of a surety grant them in the land inheritance of power as He granted it to those before them, that He will establish in authority their religion, the one which He has chosen for them, and that He will change their state after the fear in which they lived to one of security and peace. And the ones who turn away from that, if any do reject faith after this, they are rebellious and wicked. So Allah has promised al-mu'minun establishment on the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَى لِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ أَنَّ مُلْكَ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah has shown me the entire earth. Zawa means brought together. So Allah has assembled the whole earth in front of my eyes. I saw it with my own eyes, and He told me that the kingdom of my nation will reach to all of it. So it's a foregone conclusion. So the question is not whether Islam will be victorious or not. That's already given. The question is, are you going to play a role in that or not? It's already given that Allah will give a lot of ajr and reward to the ones who will bring it back. The question is, are you going to be part of that exclusive group or not? Because this group are going to be the most resembling group to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because that's something that wasn't done except by the Sahaba. Every generation after them, they came and they lived in an established Islamic system. But now we have the golden opportunity of doing what the Sahaba did. Therefore, that will make the generation that will do that the most similar generation to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I wish that I can meet my brothers. So the Sahaba said, aren't we your brothers? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you are my ashab, you are my companions. But my brothers are going to be the people who will come at the end of time. And one of them would wish that they could see me, even if it's going to cost them their wealth and families. Just getting a sight, a glimpse of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more valuable to them than everything else. The second promise Allah will give al-mu'minun a good life. حياة طيبة. Allah Azza wa Jal says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever works righteousness, man or woman, and has faith, verily to him we give a new life, a life that is good and pure. We will bestow on such their reward according to the best of their actions. Allah will give you a good life. Now, Islam, when Allah Azza wa Jalla promises you something, He promises you the essence of that thing, not the mere appearance of it. Because there's a lot of deception in this world. What you see in the outside is not necessarily what exists in the inside. A person could be very wealthy. They could be very healthy. It appears that they have a very happy life. But in reality, they are suffering inside. A disbeliever could be given everything that a person attached to this dunya wants. But inside, there's a struggle. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Whoever stays away from my remembrance, for them will be a life of distress. So when Allah Azza wa Jal promises you haya tayyiba, it is talking about the real essence of a haya tayyiba. Because you could be like Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah says, what can my enemy do with me? If they put me in jail, that's time for me to make dhikr to Allah. If they exile me, that will be time for me to contemplate in the creation of Allah. If they kill me, I become a shaheed. So what can they do with me? So no matter where you put Ibn Taymiyyah radiallahu anhu, his jannah, as he said, jannati fi sadri, my jannah is inside my chest. Do with me whatever you want. I'm carrying my jannah with me and you cannot take that away from me. In fact, he said, if the kings of this world know the pleasure that we go through, they would fight us to take it away from us with their swords. So when Allah says haya tayyiba, He's promising you haya tayyiba. Because one could argue that the Sahaba had a difficult life. I mean, sometimes we think that the Sahaba had a very pleasant, luxurious life. That's not true. Three out of the four Khulafa were assassinated. Umar, Uthman and Ali. So it wasn't easy. However, they had this contentment. They had this happiness inside their hearts. They had tumanina, they had sakina. And that's what really counts. So don't go by the appearance, go by the essence. Number three, protection. Allah has promised al-mu'minun protection. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ. Verily Allah will defend from ill those who believe. So Allah has promised the believers protection. If they didn't get it, then that means there's something wrong with their iman. It's one or the other. If you are a believer, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you. So Allah Azza wa Jal has promised the believers protection. Number four, Allah will never grant the unbelievers a way over the believers. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. And never will Allah grant to the unbelievers a way to triumph over the believers. So Islam always rises. Al-Islamu ya'lu wa la yu'la alayh. Islam is always higher and nothing goes above it. So again, if you don't see this happening, then one needs to question not the promise of Allah, but one needs to question the iman. Number five. Allah promises the believers deliverance from darkness to light. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Yukhrijuhum min al-zulumati ila al-nur. Walladhina kafaru awliya'ahum al-taghut. Yukhrijunahum min al-nur ila al-zulumati. أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah is the protector of those who have faith. From the depths of darkness, He will lead them forth into light. Of those who reject faith, the patrons are the evil ones. From light, they will lead them forth into the depths of darkness. They will be companions of the fire to dwell therein forever. So Allah promises you, if you're a believer, that He will deliver you from darkness to light. And for the ones who disbelieve, They are delivered by their patrons from light to darkness. Number six, no fear and no grief. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and establish regular prayers and regular charity will have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. As a believer, you could go through situations where you have fear, because fear is a natural human instinct. Even the Anbiya weren't spared of that. Musa alayhi salam, when in his first encounter with Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah told him to throw his stick and it turned into a snake, فَوَلَّى مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, so he ran away and he didn't look back. That's the Nabi of Allah, Musa. However, that's where he started. So he saw one stick and it made him run away. But later on, when he was facing the sorcerers in Egypt, and according to Ibn Abbas and the other Mufassirin, the number ranges from 70 to 70,000. So you have in this huge gathering, imagine a stadium filled with all of the people. They came to watch this competition between good and evil. So you have Musa and Harun on one side, and on the other side you have 70,000 sorcerers with all of their equipment and tools. So they asked Musa, shall we go first or you go first? He said, you go first. فَأَلْقَوْ حِبَالَهُمْ وَعَصِيَهُمْ. So they threw their sticks and their ropes. وَسَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. فَسَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and they deceived the eyes of people. Musa and Harun did not even shake, did not tremble, no fear at all. Even though now there are 70,000 sorcerers in front of them. Why? Because of the iman in the heart. So when iman sinks in, it eliminates fear. So you might go through that natural feeling, but you overcome it through your iman. Al-Az ibn Abd Salam, he went to visit a tyrant. Al-Az ibn Abd Salam is one of our great scholars. So he went to visit this tyrant. He went with the students. And Al-Az ibn Abd Salam started speaking softly, but then his voice was becoming more loud and loud, and his tone was harsher, and he started pointing towards this tyrant. So it is said that a student started wrapping up their clothes because they were expecting that at any time a sword will cut off his head because of the way he was speaking to this tyrant. When he came out, his students went to him and said, what have you done? How could you speak to him like that? He said, when I imagined the greatness of Allah, this tyrant became in front of me smaller than a cat. I saw him smaller than a cat. When did that happen? When he put things in perspective. When he thought about the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then you think about who this creation is. And you remember the nusus in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ يَضُرُّكَ لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If all the creation come together to harm you, they wouldn't harm you except with something that was destined for you. If Allah didn't want it to happen, it won't. And if Allah wants it to happen, nothing can prevent it. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَلَوْ مِتَّ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ لَدَخَلْتَ النَّارِ. You have to believe. وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مِثْلَ جَبَلْ أُحَدْ ذَهَبًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا تُقُبِّلَ مِنْكَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ وَأَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَأَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَلَوْ مِتَّ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ لَدَخَلْتَ النَّارِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and if you spend the equivalent of the mountain of Uhud, gold, in the sake of Allah, it won't be accepted from you until you believe in destiny. And you believe that what happened to you couldn't have been prevented. And what didn't happen to you couldn't have happened. And if you die believing otherwise, you would die in hellfire. Nothing can change. You do your best and you leave the rest on Allah Azza wa Jal. The seventh promise, payment in full. And there was a request that I cite the number of the ayah and the surah. I'm sorry, I don't have that written down. Number seven, payment in full. Allah will pay you all of your good deeds. وأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيوفيهم أجورهم والله لا يحب الظالمين. As to those who believe and work righteousness, Allah will pay them in full their reward, but Allah loves not those who do wrong. Allah will pay you for every single thing that you did.